Let's welcome our correspondent in Mid-Canterbury, Jonathan Leask, who is based at the Ashburton Guardian. He's a local democracy reporter based there. And congratulations, some nominations for the Voyager Awards for Community Newspaper of the Year. And what's the second one?
Our editor, Daisy Hudson, for editorial leadership was the other one. So, yeah, defending the title in the Community Newspaper of the Year, and Daisy for her editorial leadership is what we've got the nod for.
Outstanding. All the best for it. Okay, let's catch up on some of what has been happening in your patch. The Minister of Transport, Simeon Brown, is in Ashburton today, probably with a hard hat and high vis on and some goggles to do what?
Well, people would be hoping it would be to talk about the new second bridge, but we're doing something a little bit different today. We're opening a freight hub out at Fairfield, an $18 million project that was led by the Wearing Group, which is a local transport operator, and they've got some funding from the government and the Ashburton District Council. So it's essentially shifted the shunting yards out of the middle of town, which is going to clear up that for the traffic, and moved it out to Fairton, which is just a little bit north of Ashburton, and it's going to put a lot of our local produce onto rail instead of trucks. So at the moment, they do about 6,000 containers a year from the shunting yards in the middle of town, and they're aiming to get it up to about 20,000 containers a year once it's fully operational, which it is as of this week. And that'll take about 40,000 trucks off the road a year, chucking all that freight on the rail. So that's a pretty good work from them.
What's the backstory to bringing all this together?
Mark Wearing, the director of Wearing Group, sort of had this idea 6 years ago, and the guys at Tally's had just bought the old Fairton Freezing Works, which had a siding, and they had a bit of a meeting of the minds over a post lockdown beer, and came up with this plan to Tally's said, you can use the land, you build a freight hub, and we'll get some trucks off the road and start getting some freight directly to the port. Got the support of the council. Former Rangitata MP Joe Luxton helped push it across the line. And so it took about 6 years of work, and they're opening the thing today.
And a bit of money coming from all directions. Council's put some in, Waka Kotahi, New Zealand Transport Agency's put some in, have they?
Yeah, they chipped in $2.5 million from the New Zealand Upgrade Program. So that's sort of the funding on behalf of KiwiRail, I would assume. And the council put in $2.3 million sort of to help get the shunting yards out of town, something they've wanted to do for a very long time.
So far, so good. So a big uptake in the amount of, more than trebling the number of containers that can be carried by rail. Is it as straightforward as that, though, or does it, you know, every time you solve a problem, does another one pop up?
Well, that's the funny thing about this. The freight hub opened sort of operations last week with the official opening today, but with the goal of getting those trucks off the road and things on rail. But then we had the Rangitata rail bridge have a bit of some damage in the floodwaters last week, and so it's out of action. So for the first 2 weeks, the rail hub is actually doing the opposite, and they'll be putting more trucks on the road to be the link for freight between Ashburton and Timaru until that bridge is fixed, which KiwiRail announced yesterday that they've started work on the repairs there to sort of brace the bridge and put some repairs in and get it open again by the end of next week. So the irony is that the thing designed to get trucks off the road is actually having put trucks on the road for its first few weeks.
Will there be some questions for the Minister of Transport about that second bridge, do you think?
I'm meeting with him this afternoon, and that will be probably the first question, and it's the big question that everyone's always been asking, is where's the money coming from for that bridge, and when are we going to get that? And everyone would be envisaging him turning up with a giant cheque for today, but that might not be the case.
The old argument, just to remind people, is whether it's a local road and therefore the council's responsibility or a state highway. It's not a state highway, but the point is it is rescuing the state highway, Jonathan.
Correct.
Okay. Correct. Now, finish your thought.
That's the council's position, that it's whilst it is being built 500 metres away from the state highway, it's going to take half the traffic off State Highway One, clearing up that corridor, and it'll elongate the life of that bridge, which is, as we know, although bridges through Canterbury are getting on in years, so taking half the traffic off it will just make that last a lot longer.
What's happening with plans to install media barriers on State Highway 1? This is between Ashburton and Rakaia.
So the Mayor of Ashburton has long time been an anti-campaigner for these, what he likes to refer to as these wire ropes down the middle of the road to separate the traffic. They're an expensive waste of time is sort of the suggestion. And with a change of government and a redrafting of the government policy statement on land transport, the median barriers are no longer a priority. So NZTA has abandoned its plans to install them from Rakaia to Ashburton, which was celebrated by our beloved Mayor Neil Brown, because they just weren't wanted here, because we've got a lot of the heavy agricultural machinery driving on the roads from time to time, like the harvesters and even tractors and just big wide vehicles. And when you get those wire ropes down the middle, there's no way to overtake them or even safely manoeuvre, so it just clogs up the state highway. So it wasn't seen as a common sense solution. What they're planning to do now is to widen all the roads on State Highway 1 by a couple of metres to get the width of the road to around that 11.5 metre mark from the existing, I think, skinniest point. It's about 7.5 metres to around 9.5. And so widening it by that metre to 2 metres means they can just have a big wider painted median line to separate the traffic. But still, if there's some big, heavy, slow-moving machinery, you can still safely overtake it when it's safe to do so. You're not trapped behind them by the wire ropes.
Look, they do save lives, those wire ropes, but I hear exactly what you're saying. I suppose the questions everyone has got is, why wasn't this sorted out before they were installed? Have they actually been installed?
They haven't been installed here.
There's
some north of Christchurch.
Yep.
I drive that patch road occasionally. I've got family up there, so I drive that patch road. And at night times, they're actually a little bit disorientating because of where they are. But they only had plans to install them, but they didn't have the funding to do it. So that's why it hasn't been done yet, and now it just won't be done at all.
Well, at least it's not a case of putting it in and taking it out. And what's the timeline for that other safety move, which is just to separate the lines a bit, the centre line a bit?
I have a feeling that the widening of the road will be a gradual process. They'll just do it as they go with the rehabilitation works along the state highway. There's a stretch of road south of Ashburton near Hines that they've already done it on. Don't know whether that was a trial patch or not, but that's got a wider median strip, and that seems to be pretty popular, and people are quite happy with that. It just separates the traffic by that extra half a metre.
Okay. Now, business closures in Ashburton, of course, we are unquestionably in the midst of a pretty nasty recession. Nasty in that, and it's often the case that actually the job losses lag behind the sort of the contraction happening in the economy. A lot of focus on what's happening in the capital at the moment, but what's happening in the regions? What's happening in your neck of the woods?
In Ashburton, we've had a couple of long-standing hospitality, restaurant-type businesses shut their doors. We had a Spates Ale House that have been here for a long time, and they closed their doors last month with a restaurant across the road, Armadillo's, which has had a number of different restaurants in there over the years, but that's another one that closed earlier this year as well. And the mayor's obviously, he's worried that it might mean more businesses are going to follow suit, because we've just had a lot of new eateries open up in Ashburton, and there's a rising cost of running the businesses. And so there's all these new businesses, things cost more, but we've still got the same size population. So everyone's sort of being spread a bit thin. So there's a bit of a concern that some of these other businesses, the newer businesses, might be struggling as well as these long-serving ones that have already closed.
So it's a classic case of the first thing people stop spending on is that discretionary dollar in the likes of cafes and so forth. Is one of these in the new library and civic centre that we've been talking about, or is that one going okay?
There is a new cafe in the new library and civic centre, and what the council did at the time was they didn't want to introduce something to compete with the existing businesses, with a lot of cafes in the CBD. And what actually happened there was one of the existing cafes moved from where they were to operate out of the library. So it hasn't really cost anyone any business there. It's still the one business sort of shifting from A to B. But the council did spend about $15 million on a revitalisation of the CBD a couple of years ago to sort of brighten and enhance that CBD to attract a few more businesses. But I think in the meantime, there's been a few more empty shops start popping up which is probably a concern. And in the meantime, we've had a couple of those big box operators come to town, like Kmart to the south. Briscoe's moved out of the CBD to the other side of the train tracks next to a Rebel Sport. So there's these big box retail centres sort of setting up on the fringe, which is putting a bit of pressure on the CBD.
So are they luring business, essentially? Are they brand new? Did I hear you say they've relocated from perhaps out of, you know, you go and you park, right, and you do your shopping. And you might drive to the big box on the way home, or you might not. But have they relocated, or have some of them actually moved in for the first time?
Kmart was brand new. They moved in, and part of their consent to build where they built, they weren't allowed to have any other retail next to them. So they've got all these new eateries around them. So that's sort of taking people away from some of these other eateries. And then on the other side of State Highway 1, Ashburton's got the warehouse there, and then they've built Briscoe's moved from the middle of town to over there, and with a Rebel Sport setting up next door. And then next to them, a chemist warehouse has also opened up. So they're these sort of retail satellite areas that have set up and expanded outside the CBD, despite the council's intentions and plans to try and drive more businesses into the CBD.
What's happening overall in other sectors as well? The old story in the regions, when the farmers close their checkbooks, that hurts everyone else as well. But what's happening in some of the other areas? By and large, some of your numbers look like they're reasonably stable. Some of the council numbers that have been released on the likes of tourism spend, for example.
Tourism spend, it's a bit tricky with the tourism spend, because obviously we were coming on the back of COVID and people not travelling, and we're starting to see a lot of those international tourists come back and a lot of domestic tourism coming around. And some of those tourism stats are a little bit misleading. You've got to look at the overall trend rather than the hard data, because when you go to the petrol station and fill up your car, that can be classed as tourism spend if you're doing it outside the region where your bank card is issued. So this is a bit tricky with that. But yeah, the numbers for tourism are on the up. So people coming here are spending more money, but the people who live here may not be, which I think is probably the same through regions throughout the country. There's just a bit of that tightening of the purse strings and riding out, like you said, the recession.
Thank you, Jonathan. Jonathan Leask is in Ashburton. He's local democracy reporter there, based at the Ashburton Guardian.